All right, welcome back to another episode of Keep Chopping Wood. Once again, thank you for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. It's really helping us with the outreach. I know you're probably sick of hearing me say this every week, but please keep doing it. If you haven't done it yet, please, like I said, give us a 5-star review, leave a comment, whatever. It really helps with the outreach of the show. Also, if you're a sponsor and you want to advertise with us or send us free stuff, please go to the Keep Chopping Wood handle on Twitter and click the link in our bio. Email us at keepchoppingwood@gmail.com. We'd love to talk to you, and we'll work with any budget. Just drop us a line. And other than that, like I said, that intro that everybody loves hearing every week. I mean, look, we have Sully Football back on with us to preview the Chiefs game, and also, well, he's not going to commiserate, but Hank and I are going to, and Ryan and I are going to commiserate a little bit about the wonderful showing on Thursday Night Football against the Titans last week. I think if you listened to the show last week, that game went pretty much exactly how everyone in here expected. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm an idiot. I said maybe they'll win. So don't fucking listen to me ever. Yeah. I said I don't know if they'll lose, but I'm an idiot. Don't ever listen to me again.
Yeah, I think on my podcast, which is available on iTunes, and I Hate Sully, we pretty much broke it down just like we thought it would happen. They were going to run all over you guys, and y'all suck.
Very, very succinct. The loss of Roy Miller, like the way that I described it as going into the game or on the podcast last week, is this is going to look exactly like how the Cincinnati Bengals preseason game looked in week three of the preseason, like the mock game, and with no Roy Miller. And you could just tell, like, emotionally that this team is just fucking reeling. Like, they have no idea who or what they are or what to do or how to right the ship, and everything is imploding on itself. It's actually currently imploding. Like, I'm literally watching it implode on Twitter in front of my very eyes as we record this podcast.
Can I ask you guys this? Because obviously I've paid a ton of attention to the Jags this year. I've seen them a bunch. We talked about how they were on TV a lot. But you had kind of that infusion of new talent, guys who weren't used to losing, and now they are. And I think you're seeing a little bit of them kind of – they don't even know how to handle it.
Well, yeah, and I think what you're seeing, too, at this point, you're reaching the point where I think that maybe not permanent damage is taking place with, like, players on the roster, but definite, like, long-term damage is taking place with the players on this roster and just, like, the culture that has seeped into this team. I mean...
Yeah, like, it's not, like, as easy of a fix as just, like, getting rid of Gus Bradley, like, at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, evidently, but, like, it's gotten to the point where, like, more, like, they're reaching, like, a new bottom each week. Like, they're just, like, their future is, like, looking worse and worse each week. Like, a month ago, it was like, okay, well, they get rid of Gus Bradley and a new coach. They should be at least, you know, like, a professional team. And at this point, you're like, oh, just moving to London, you know? I mean, it's terrible at this point.
Sully, do you have any observations or anything from the game, like from the game Thursday in particular? I mean, you've already talked about Blake on here, he was obviously not good. If they didn't watch the game and just saw the box score after the game, just did not do justice to how bad it was. Like, even those garbage time points at the end, Tennessee. I mean, I didn't even watch the second half, but I think Mariota wasn't even playing in the fourth quarter, was he? I don't think.
No, they had. Was it Matt Cassel?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I forget who. It might have been the Castle Cannon. I forget. But, they just look deflated, man. Like, I don't really know how else to put it. Like, it doesn't look like – I mean, I don't want to say they're not trying, but you can just tell, like, they just – they're not in it anymore, man. Like, it's gotten that bad.
Well, the most hilarious thing, too, was, like, at halftime, the halftime interview, I think it was Susie Colbert asked Gus, like, what is going – like – everybody could clearly see that they just didn't even get off the bus. The effort was just not there. And Gus says at halftime, like, we're just trying and pressing too hard. And, like, they're pretty much saying they're giving too much effort. Yeah. And that was causing them to, like, make mistakes. It's not like they were out there making
his fucking coach speak software didn't update on that one. Like, he got fucked up on that. Like, all he knows how to do is respond in coach speak. So he just went to the well and was like, "Oh, we're just trying a little too hard." And it's like, "Are you watching the same game or did you just get here?"
Is too, it's like, it's not even coach speak. It's like, oh, literally only positive, like shitty positive spin coach speak.
Like, it's okay to not bash them, but say like, "Hey, we're not like playing well," or something along those lines. Not just, "Hey, we're trying too hard." It's like, "What the fuck game are you at, bud?" Like,
And then she followed it up right after with, are you going to make a quarterback change? Like, those are you and our quarterbacks.
The most amazing thing was, I think it was like asking him what's wrong with the offense, and it goes from saying they're trying too hard on Thursday to yesterday he's like, "Oh, they're not trying hard enough," basically. he doesn't know what the hell he's doing now.
Do we expect anything to come with the with this coordinator change and promoting the quarterback coach and Blake flying his personal quarterback coach out from California to work mechanics?
You're not fixing that in a week. Like, there's no fucking chance you're fixing his mechanical problems right now in a week. And on top of all of it, like, I'd feel bad if I was his personal quarterback coach, because now everybody knows, like, nobody else is working with that guy now that they know who he is, right? I mean, his wind up looks like a shortstop.
Yeah, no, totally. I've always said that flying in a coach to work on mechanics week 9 is like the best time to work on them.
I mean, that is ideal, right?
Yeah,
like I said, it's not like they, if only there was like this period of time where they weren't playing games.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for like 2019 when we get the reports out of the Jets camp that Blake Bortles is in the best shape of his life.
Okay. Can
Christian Hackenberg fend off Blake Bortles?
So going, I mean, we're looking kind of a couple months into the future here, but I mean, are they going to pick up his fifth year option?
No, like after this year, no.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, there's no way you can.
I don't know, man. RG3 got his fifth year option picked up, didn't he?
I thought he didn't.
I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, but problem with that, I mean, it's like those rookie contracts are great until you end up in a situation like that. So what happens if he's abysmal again next year and you have a proven vet on the roster? You know, like, you almost have to do the RG3 thing where you sit him, because if he gets hurt, you're fucked in paying him the year after that.
Yep. It's just we're reaching a point with this team and this roster and this franchise where, like I said, maybe not permanent damage, but you're definitely looking at, like, there's some real, real questions that have to be answered this offseason. That some real tough questions got to be answered. I think, like, the most telling thing that I've heard and people talking about the Jaguars in recent weeks was Michael Lombardi on Simmons's podcast. Like, it was like the Friday morning right after the Thursday game, and they were like, that game was like the very first topic they talked about. And he didn't name Caldwell by name, but it was pretty clear that that's who he was talking about when he was like, "Well, they don't want to fire Gus Bradley because you get rid of the coach." Like, everybody already knows that, like, the coach is a problem. If you get rid of the coach, then the questions start turning to the roster, really. And I don't know if those are questions that they want answering. When they have a very, like, they don't want their bubble of, like, their inflated sense of self to really be examined. Like, if you, like Lombardi was saying, if you try to talk to the Jaguars, you know, I think that you're trying to negotiate with, like, a multiple Super Bowl champion. I mean, and that's kind of, that isn't really surprising, is it? I mean, these are the same guys that said it's built last year. They've never really made a big move to trade down in the draft. They constantly say that, like, oh, the deal, you know, there wasn't a deal that we liked on the table or anything like that. So, I mean, obviously everybody knows that Gus is gone at this point. Like, that, we're just waiting that out. But I think and we talked about this a lot on the last podcast, but just to broach it again, like, I think the real question at this point is, should Dave Caldwell have anything to do with this team going forward?
Yeah, no, me and you have talked about this, and I kind of mentioned it on Twitter like last week. But if Caldwell is like guaranteed still here, and he's hiring the next coach, and like you'd assume, you know, he's not going to take the L on Bortles in like year four when he still has him on the contract. So if he like tells the next coach, okay, you can come in here, but Bortles has to be your coach next year, year after, or whatever. Is there a more like less desirable job in the NFL?
So what do you? If the Jaguars keep their GM and basically forces Bortles on the next guy, like what is that's the worst job in the NFL, right?
Well, yeah, I mean it's hard to say. You know, it would depend on. Me and Hank talked about this. I think that the meeting would have to be one of, okay, we'll see if we can fix him, but you know, you're going to give me a proven veteran behind him, and if it's not rolling by week six, I'm pulling the plug on it, kind of thing. But I mean, when you look at some of the coaching candidates you guys have been floating out there, they're not the kind of guys that want a GM that's going to tell them who they're starting and that type of stuff. Like Haley, if that happens with Todd Haley, then this will be worse than Gus, because he will start to do stuff just to spite him.
Actually, that's actually a really good segue before we start going into like Chiefs talk and previewing the game, like next week's game and everything. I mean, I guess like, how many weeks we got left in the season? 7 weeks.
But let me say this before you move on, because me and Hank talked about this kind of in private. Like, you're seeing Gus is obviously not capable as an NFL head coach. The game plan sucks. They're not prepared. All that great stuff, right?
Right.
But when you really dig down into what Caldwell's done over the rebuild, which is what now, 5 years he's been there? This is his fourth year. Like, what has he done outside of the no-brainer pick?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where a GM wins. Like, everybody knew you needed to take Jalen Ramsey, and I think even casual football fans knew he was going to be good, and it's looking so far like that was a pretty good pick, right? But
right.
Where are your mid-round guys that are able to step up and start and are legitimate difference makers? You know, that's what you got to look for. Like, what difference makers has he added other than Jalen and maybe some of these guys he's picking up in free agency, where in reality it wasn't the appeal of Jacksonville. It was more just you guys are paying more than everybody else.
Right, exactly. No, yeah. That's a completely fair point. I mean, Hank, you've talked a bunch. Like,
yeah, no,
just if you really like go through and start looking at the draft classes and going back to 2013 and start looking at them year by year, the trajectory that a lot of these players are on, these draft classes are not turning out good.
Like, you can't pinpoint one guy. Like, I think Ace Sanders you guys took, and he was off the roster in like a year or two. Or if I got that name right, I might be thinking of another small guy everybody knew wasn't going to pan out. But, everybody has that. Every franchise has that third. Like, we had Nico Johnson off the roster right away. Like, with Kevari Russell this year. We've had some bust, too. But you got to get those guys that are difference makers. And when I say that, it doesn't have to be a guy that's a fucking... And that's kind of where a GM makes his money. And he also, you know, he went all in on the quarterback, and the big quarterback bust, and all the questions turned to you at that point.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, like, speaking like on the mid-round thing, like, if you like go through his drafts, like draft by draft, he has somehow like found like better players in the mid-rounds than he has with some of these like top five picks. And that's incredible that an NFL GM has gotten four tries at picks within the top five, and they've only landed on one, and that was like the most obvious. Yeah, he's gonna be a good one. Like Jokel, I mean, you know, he was okay at guard, but he, like, you can't justify that as like a number two pick. Yeah, that might have been a terrible draft, but there were still good players taken like immediately after him. Bortles was looking good last year, but as of right now, like, you, he's literally like the reason like three, like two different coordinators have been fired, and Fowler is as bad of a pass rusher as you'd be. So, I mean, like, just like going by his drafts, he's 1-for-4 on top five picks. And I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, and it's more glaring because of, and this isn't just a Jaguars joke, but it's where you guys draft. Like, these are big-time picks that are getting paid a lot of money, and they're considered to be a top seven talent in the draft class, and he's missing on them consistently now.
Yeah, no, and, like, when I, like, tweet, like, criticism of Caldwell and stuff, people are like, okay, he hasn't been that bad, though. He's, like, drafted people like Telvin Smith and Brandon Linder. Linder was a third-round pick, and Telvin was a fifth-round pick. I care 1,000 times more about hitting on the number three overall pick and not drafting Dante Fowler than I care about you finding a good center in the third round. You know what I mean?
100%. Well, I mean, just speaking of the Fowler draft specifically, I mean, Sully is going to flame me for this one, but I mean, look at Atlanta, who is basically like the same, I mean, structure of team that we are, similar scheme and everything like that. In last year's draft, they're picking, what, five spots behind us? Mm-hmm. And they picked the exact same positions. And I just look at the difference in production between Beasley and Coleman versus Fowler and Yeldon.
Yeah.
Yep.
People don't talk enough about it, but that 2015 class is looking atrocious. Like, really bad. Like, the best player from it is a mediocre to below average offensive guard.
Yep. Not good. Not good.
Yeah.
Not
and, I mean, good. And being able to get production out of guys who maybe aren't the best play, like D Ford this year. I think he's like fourth in the league in sacks. You just talked about Vic Beasley. I think he's leading the league or he's second in the league in sacks.
Yeah, like, something like that.
Like, even if those guys aren't ever going to be superstars, like, that's what I mean. Like, now D was obviously a first round pick, but he was a luxury pick for us with Tomba and Justin Houston on the roster and a little bit of uncertainty about the contracts at the time, but still, you knew Houston wasn't walking. So, but you get that guy, and that's what I'm talking about, a GM kind of building up his roster a little bit. So, Tom was banged up this year. Houston's out the first 8 or 9 games, and D Ford's fourth in the league in sacks.
Yep. Well, think about it like this. Who on the Jaguars – I mean, because like I said, this is the fourth year under this regime. You're going to have guys like from the very first year, I mean, in the next year or two, you're going to have guys getting ready with contracts expiring and stuff like that. Like I said, you're going to have to make a decision on Blake with the fifth-year option. I mean, they already extended Hearns, but, like, other than Telvin, who on this team are you really looking at even getting a fucking second contract at this point?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought up Telvin. I was just about to say, it's amazing that, like, in like over the summer, people were talking about Telvin being the one dude that was probably not going to get another contract. And, like, right now, he's the only guy you can really justify it for. I mean, maybe, like, Linder, but that's – I like those first two draft classes. That's about it. Like, you're still waiting on A-Rob to wake up. Like, based off last year's A-Rob, of course he'd get something. But based on this year, there's no way you can pay him after the season unless he, like, no, dramatically comes it around. So, yeah, so pretty much just comes out to Telvin and Linder at that point.
It's not good. Do we have anything else on just general Jaguars shittiness?
No, Caldwell sucks. Bradley sucks. Boulder sucks.
I think, you know, I will say the one thing that's been not surprising to me, but the thing that would alarm me is, you know, we all, I guess, assume that Gus's best quality is his ability to motivate, and now they don't even look motivated at this point. Like,
no.
That's when you know it's done, right? Like, it's over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Like, the Oakland game was – not even the Oakland game. They had people, like, arguing with him and stuff, like, the second game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't – people try to kind of spray sunshine and roses from that first game of the season because it was they were competitive against the Packers, but oh man, I mean it's just been it was a lost season from like the very get go.
Yeah, no, it's transitioned from lost season to like nightmare season at this point.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Like I said, you're starting to do, like, long-term permanent.
Yeah, but, yeah. This is, like, worst of the worst case of seasons.
I mean, I know you guys are starting to get to the point where you're upset with ownership and management because you're thinking, you know, these guys aren't – they don't care. They're letting this continue to go on. But if you think about the way it's traditionally supposed to work, you stock the roster for 3 years with young talent that is supposed to have developed at this point, and then you do what you did last offseason where you grab the big money free agents and add to what's a talented roster. And I think that goes back to what we're talking about with Dave. Like, the talent wasn't there when you started to add Malik and these other guys into it.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. That was the plan. Like, they always talked about, like, oh, can you, like, imagine this defense? They're adding Dante Fowler plus Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack. I'm like, okay, that's Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, and one bad football player. I mean, it doesn't matter who's a first-round pick. I mean,
it might be Jalen Ramsey and two bad
players. Oh, yeah. That's to be
honest. Who the fuck knows? I don't know, man. Nah, I'm not going to – I honestly can't take anything from fucking Miles' rookie year. I have no idea what this stuff is doing with him. I guess we'll just kind of wrap up with Fowler. I mean, Ngakoue was getting some okay production at the beginning of the year. Like I said, it looks like he's kind of hitting the rookie wall. Did he do anything in the last couple of weeks? I can't even remember him even, like, making a play that stands out in my head.
Is it 91?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's made some plays.
Okay. But yeah, he's made some plays. Fowler's benched at this point, and I mean, even Gus, who's like fucking sunshine and roses extraordinaire, even sounds like he's getting frustrated with Fowler at this point, like, and exasperated. You know, that's not a good sign. When Gus Bradley like seems exasperated with you, obviously not a good sign for your your outlook.
The perfect way to sum up Fowler's season is at the next like day after Titans game, he was like, yeah, after Fowler got that personal like foul in the first half, we benched him for the rest of the first half. And you just see the entire tweet deal explode like, oh, Fowler was benched? We legit had no idea.
No.
Yeah. No, I had no idea he was in off the field. That's as much of an impact as he's making.
Nope. All right. I think that wraps up General Jag shittiness. Sully, you brought up Todd Haley for a second. Like I said, with 7 weeks in the season, we'll probably start kicking around ideas for future coaches and things like that. Haley's been a guy that, has he even interviewed for any jobs the last few years? He's just been staying low-key in Pittsburgh, huh?
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like he did interview somewhere, but I don't remember.
How did you feel about him over like his tenure overall in Kansas City?
Like, I really think that, I mean, he's an offensive mastermind. You know, I think that he's great. He knows how to get the most out of what he has. I mean, I think he had Matt Castle throw 27 touchdowns 1 year and make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, dude,
Pro Bowl year. I mean, he knows what he's doing. The problem with Haley is he's really bizarre guy. He's way out there. He's kind of a dickhead, and he does not – like, he's very spiteful. So if something happens, for instance, where Dave walks on him or one of the coordinators walk on him or something, anything at all could be the smallest thing, then it just becomes a big fight every day in the organization. Like, the Chiefs got so bad there towards the end, like, basically the people who worked there had to pick sides. Like, you were either Team Haley or Team Pioli, and, like, they were having separate meetings – arguing over fucking gum wrappers in the stands. Like, it was outrageous there towards the end. But I do still feel like, I mean, I think Todd can be a head coach, but I still think his best spot is to be an offensive coordinator under a guy that knows how to can manage the rest of that, and all he has to do is kind of manage the offense.
Right. Like, it sounds like he's one of those guys where, like, in terms of football acumen, has everything that you could possibly want in a coach, but he just might not have the emotional stability and maturity to run a franchise.
Yeah, he was the Cardinals coordinator before he came to us. I think he was there 2 years and was awesome. Came to us, we had the one great year. And then, like, I mean, what I mean by spiteful, like, it got to the point where, like, I believe he was like the Tyler Palko years of our offense, like, just to prove that he could do this with it. You know what I mean? Like,
he's a dick. Shit too, like him playing like the starters in the fourth preseason game in the last year he was there, just to be a dick about it.
Yeah. So he's I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad candidate. I could be completely wrong there, but in my time with him, we loved him. Me and Jinx love him and Pioli. I think if they could have made it work together, like if they liked each other at all, we would be in a much different position. I think we'd still be pretty good like we are now, but I would venture to say we'd have had a little bit more success, like, because they were a great match because, you know, Pioli was a great drafter. For everything else people hated about him, like, he was very much he leaned on kind of, you know, I'll take freaks in my front seven and I'll hire a coaching staff that can teach him how to play football. And
right. Well, I mean, that's what exactly he's doing, like, back in Atlanta now.
Exactly, and you're starting to see it there, too. Big athletic freaks up front, and he'll have somebody that can teach him how to play, you know, play football. So if they could have made it work, I do think it could have been special. But to me, Haley is a guy that, like, under a Mike Tomlin, you know, a guy who's established in an organization like Pittsburgh where everything's kind of in-house and the family feel, and all he has to do is be the offensive coordinator, I think that's his best spot.
Yeah. Like, and what you said with, like, the spitefulness and the, like, how I just described it as, like, emotional maturity, that just kind of rings true. Because a friend of the podcast, John Caputo, said, I think that Haley was, like, a UNF golf coach or some shit like that. And, like, Cap knew him, and he said that he's exactly what you said, like, just a fucking strange-ass guy.
Yeah, he's bizarre. And, like, the thing about him is, when I say spiteful, like, if he's your head coach next year and Bortles sucks through 3 weeks and they won't let him pull him, then he will purposely put Blake in the worst position impossible. Just
like
to continue,
he'll do that shit, like, right, like where Rex Ryan, like, had to start Geno, and so he ran the ball like 50 times, like didn't even let Geno throw a pass, like do weird shit like that.
Yeah, just to be a dick like that. And once that starts, it never stops with him.
Nope. All right, so it sounds like maybe.
That escalated.
Todd Haley may not be the best fit in Jacksonville.
He could be a great fit. It really is dependent upon the GM and the owner. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. Did Pioli like handpick him, and that relationship just like went downhill?
I believe, yeah, I think it was like Pioli's guy. They got there. And Pioli, in his own right, is a psychopath. Like, he's a complete OCD freak. And, I mean, they would, like, scream at each other over if the guys, like, I think there was, like, a team picture and they left, like, some gum wrappers in the stands. And, like, Pioli, like, fucking had a heart attack about it. So then, like, Haley started leaving gum wrappers everywhere just to be a dick. Like, stuff like that. You know what I mean? And, like, from what I know from guys who worked in that organization at the time, like, it was very much a, like, you were Team Haley or you were Team Pioli, and whichever one you were blocked out from the others. Like, they had coaches not in coaches' meetings because they had sided with Pioli, so Haley wouldn't let him in, like, that type of shit.
Yeah. Well, because Crennel was his defensive coordinator, right? And Crennel's obviously a Pioli guy. That's the guy who ended up getting the job.
I think he had Crennel and Charlie Weiss 1 year, and then Weiss left to take the Notre Dame job, I believe.
Right.
And then Crennel ended up being the interim, and then they hired him, which everybody knew was going to be a fucking disaster, and then that was the 2014 year after they got rid of him.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead, Hank.
Speaking on, like, Pioli, like, being kind of bizarre in his own right, like, I'm not sure if I'm remembering it incorrectly, but, like, that, like, big Deadspin article that everybody freaked out about where it was, like, Haley, like, thought he was being bugged. I remember, kind of, like, asked, like, Pioli and, like, their people about it, and they didn't say, like, yeah, we weren't bugging him, but they were like, yeah, we, like, sometimes record some, like, employees, but we're not going to answer that.
Sounds like a...
So if you're asking my honest opinion, that whole regime is in places they belong now. Like, he needs to be in Pittsburgh under a coach like Tomlin at an organization like Pittsburgh as an offensive coordinator. And Pioli's best as kind of the second man who helps you in the draft, which is what he's doing in Atlanta pretty much.
Yep, 100%. So speaking, you brought up the 2-14 season. That's the year that was 2013. The Jags and the Chiefs were the two worst teams in the league. I mean, obviously the talent differential between the two teams was pretty massive from their starting point. Like, the Chiefs was literally just a situation where they had a pretty good roster in place already, and they just had fucking terrible coaching. Like, in
they had six Pro Bowlers on that 2014 team,
right? So, I mean, but since then, the Chiefs hire Andy Reid, and I mean, this is something that I talked about a lot on the last show. Is like, even though you guys did start out from a place with a much greater, like, you had a better talent base, there was no none of this, oh, we're going to rebuild or we're going to punt a couple years. You guys went and got a fucking professional coach and resumed being a professional franchise. And the level of success between the two teams before, like, or since the 2013 season, when they were the two worst teams in the league, it's staggering to even look at. Like,
well, I think that, I mean, there obviously was a huge, humongous talent difference in the two teams. Like, the Chiefs the Chiefs really were some stability away from being a good organization, but we went opposite routes. So it's not every year that a coach like Andy Reid becomes available. You know, not too many teams fire a guy like that.
Yeah.
But, and we've talked about it a little bit, not to compare the two, but a little bit with, like, Jeff Fisher, where it's not great, but you know what you're getting. And we talked about it kind of in the pre-show here. Like, we trade the 2 seconds for Alex, which, I mean, in hindsight, that's not that bad of a trade considering what he's done since he's been in Kansas City. And we went the more – you guys went the boom or bust route. We're going to take our quarterback in the top fucking three, I believe. We're going to hire a guy who's a coordinator somewhere that's never been a head coach before, and we're going to you know, ride this thing with the new owner and the whole deal. We went the opposite route. We took a guy who was a consistent player, and we took a coach who we figured could get the most out of that guy, and we kind of went the more, I don't know, the safer route. But if you look at the results, we probably made the better decision there, you know, because I think in reality, maybe I don't want to say either decision was wrong, because if you look at where both teams were, like, the Chiefs needed a stability at quarterback, stability at head coach. The talent was there, and you guys didn't have that at all.
No.
But we talked about it. If you look, if you were right now, let's say this year, with the talent that's on the Jacksonville Jaguars, if it's you guys, I said North Turner, you guys had somebody else, I forget who you said.
I said like John Fox.
So if you guys had John Fox and Josh McCown, you're probably competing in the AFC South this year.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that's not outrageous to say. Neither one of those guys are great, but you don't always need to have great players to be competitive. And now the Chiefs historically have been – it hasn't always worked out. Everybody knows about our playoff drought, but it's not like we weren't going to the playoffs all those years. We were there a ton. We just weren't winning. But the Chiefs kind of philosophy has always been stability, and we'll get to the playoffs, and the more shots we have, the better chance we have at it, you know? And I mean, I respect the boom or bust route, but I mean, I'm happy with what we have here. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with what we have. Andy Reid, to me, is great.
Yep. I'm trying to think of how to transition this.
I'll say this. Let me finish this up with this. As much hate as Alex Smith gets for what he is as a player, and I've talked myself into Nick Foles at this point, which I'm sure we'll talk about later later on here on this episode. But like, he's exactly what you want in those kind of situations. He's a guy that's all football all the time. The locker room's going to respect him immediately. He knows how to handle the media. He's going to give you that stability and stability means, you know, he's not a guy that's going to have 400 yards and four touchdowns, but he's going to give you 225. Maybe two touchdowns. He's going to never throw picks. He's not going to fumble. He's decently athletic, and you know what you're getting every single week. And sometimes that's really all you need.
Yeah, no, 100%. It really is the difference between, like, what a professional quarterback or what a professional football team looks like versus just what a like, dumpster fire looks like.
Like, just, like, pieces, like, thrown together pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars do not – I mean, and they have some talented guys on the roster. The rest of the AFC South is not, you know, far and away better than them, but they just do not even resemble a professional NFL football team.
But that is much to my point that I'm making about the difference since the 2-14 year.
Yeah,
Is really it comes down to Gus Bradley, Henny and Bortles versus Andy Reid, Alex Smith, and we even had, you know, Chase Daniel start a few games. I think he started two or three games in there and played well. Like, that stability at the two most important positions is kind of what you – and, you know, like, even on the defensive side, like, I think you have that guy with Paz, you know, a guy who's just stable. You know what you're getting every week.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. He's a fucking professional football player, the leader of the defense kind of thing. And Alex on the other side – I mean, I know you guys joned on me a little bit about when I went on my little Alex rant when I talked myself into him, but there is something to be said about those guys just knowing what's going to happen. You know, like, this is who we are.
Well, I mean, think about it. The Chiefs go on, like, an 8-game winning streak every single fucking season. Like, they know exactly how to win with the roster that they have.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll pull it up here just so I'm being 100% correct on this, but, I mean, he's something like – I think he's 1-2 in the playoffs since he's been with the Chiefs, but I believe he is – here, I got it right here. He is 35-18 as a starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. He beats the Raiders every year. He does exactly what the Chiefs quarterback needs to do. Like I said, it's nothing flashy. There's nothing great about it, but we know what we're getting every week.
Yep, exactly. I mean – the one thing that I'm worried about with the Jags going forward is that we, because it seems like it happens with this, I mean, I don't know how it starts, if it starts from the top or from the fan. I just don't know, but it seems like just collectively we build ourselves up into believing that if you just fix, like, the one guy that every, like, if you fix the one problem, then everything else will be fixed, instead of just realizing, like, how decayed and broken the culture of this team is and has been for, like, going on 10 years now.
Yeah. No, like, okay, Eric, like, in your opinion, would you venture to say, like, they're, like, in a worse spot now? Like, not talent-wise, but just in terms of, like, morale and culture than they were 2012? Because, like, 2012, it was just, like, apathy, and, like, the players are like, okay, yeah, we know we suck. And now it's just them, like, clapping back and stuff, and it seems like players are going through mental breakdowns every other week.
No, yeah, no, 100%. This is probably like the most emotionally distressing like season in Jaguars history.
But that's the type of shit that starts at the top. The Chiefs were, before we went 11-5 and won a playoff game last year, we were a 1-5 football team with every reason to think that Jamal gets hurt. Like, all this shit happens, and the wheels could have fell off, and instead of that, we reel off 10 straight and then win our first playoff game, so we win our next 11 games. Like, that's the type of shit you get with stability at, like I said, at quarterback and head coach.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like Eric talked like last week about like how like you can tell a lot of the players don't know how to handle anxiety during the game because they're not like getting challenged. But that like we've talked about how they've kind of gassed themselves up, so maybe they're not used to these the expectations are so high, and like they've even said themselves they can't believe like they're playing this bad. But it's not just like the players, like even the coach and the GM have gassed themselves up. Like the coach thought they were going to be good last season.
Yeah. 100%.
It's just like top to bottom, they don't know how to handle adversity, and it's just
goes back to what Lombardi says. Like they're just so delusional about themselves. Yeah. It's delusion.
Yeah, I think that on top of it too, like we were talking about from a talent standpoint and stability standpoint and stuff like that, like. You know, you guys are talking about how the coach thought they were going to be good last year and the GM came out and said it's built and all this type of shit. Like, just because a guy isn't as bad as the guy who was there last year or the guy who was there last week, that doesn't mean that guy's a good player, which tends to see – you see a lot of bad organizations think, like, we fixed this position.
I say that all the time on Twitter whenever people are talking about how, like, oh, this position – and this goes for, like, any team, like how you were saying, like, oh – this position got the number one thing that is just like absolutely 100% false, and I've seen it play out so many times in football is, oh, it can't be worse, it can't get any worse. You know what I mean? Like just because it's somebody different just doesn't mean that that person is not as bad as what came before. So I don't know, man. Let's preview this game a little bit though. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, I'm into it. Good radio. Good radio.
Yeah, great radio. I'm good for one of those every single week.
You want me just to continuously heavily breathe into the mic so you know I'm here? Or?
Or just pound like furiously into the keyboard like how Ryan was earlier.
Man, I wonder why he got disconnected. He broke his fucking computer before he started.
The most interesting matchup in this game is whether I guess to me is whether Blake is dumb enough to go at Marcus Peters, probably.
No, nobody has gone. The last 2 weeks, like, people just – Andrew Luck and Drew Brees just completely avoided him. Like, I think Brees went at him one time, and he completed it for, like, a 4-yard pass. Luck, I don't think, went at him all day, maybe once. So, people are just staying away from him at this point.
Well, Blake's Brees and Luck are smart quarterbacks, so – if the over-under is like 2.5, I'm betting the mortgage on the over for Peters' interceptions.
The big deal with Peters, man, is like you guys will get a chance to see it this week. He gives up some plays. Like he'll give up some catches, but it's almost like everything he does has a plan to it, man. Like he starts baiting it. Like he'll give up the time, and then you'll think you have it, and you go back to it a fourth time, and he jumps around, and it's over with. Like
he's setting up a turnover later in the game.
Yes, man. Like, and they talked about it a little bit last week. I think it was Jeremy Maclin. I think it was NFL Network that did a little thing on him, I believe. And Maclin said the thing that makes him special is he honestly doesn't give a fuck if he gives up 3 straight catches because he knows if you test him a fourth time, he'll beat you there. Like he knows in his head he's gonna beat. Like he has that perfect cockiness of a corner. Of, okay, I've given up 5 catches for 85 yards. Let me pick the next 2 off. Like, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
And the thing about him is, if he does get his chance to make a play on a ball this week, like, his ball skills are outrageous. I don't know how he's not a wide receiver.
It would not surprise me if he outscores the Jaguars offense. Or if the Chiefs defense outscores the Jaguars offense. And he's a part of it. Like, he might have more touchdowns in this game than Allen Robinson.
Dude, he's going to body Allen Robinson, dude. Allen Robinson, he was getting bodied in coverage by a dude named Valentino, who I guess people said was Antoine Blake with his name changed, which just makes it worse. Like he was straight up just destroying him. Like, it wasn't just, like, Blake missing him. Like, on routes downfield, people are like, oh, why didn't they call pass interference on that? And I'm like, okay, just, like, fight through the physicality then. Like, not be a wuss for 5 seconds in the game.
Yeah. The big thing about Peters is, though, he doesn't travel a ton. He will kind of stay to his side.
Right.
But the other corner is a problem. That's been our problem so far this year. Like, they drafted a ton of people there, and none of them have really panned out. Philip Gaines is probably the most talented of everybody that plays on the other side, but he gets hurt all the fucking time.
They've been missing Sean Smith, huh?
Yeah, and like Smith was, I think he's missing us too. Like he was guys that should have just stayed where he was, taking a little bit less money.
He's a perfect number two corner, and he has to be the guy in Oakland right now on a shitty defense. So
yeah, and the thing about him was he saw a ton of targets, like because of who Peters was. So like, I mean, he should have just stayed put, man.
Yeah, Charkhandrick is probably going to be starting at running back, right?
Yeah, we only dressed two running backs last week, and Spencer Ware ended up with a concussion. Now, he's in protocol. Everything I've read is saying that they don't know yet, but that typically means he's not going to play. So it's going to be Charkhandrick West, which isn't as – now, he's obviously not as dynamic as Jamal or Spencer Ware is.
But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. With Roy Miller out, you will be able to run the ball.
I promise. The thing about Charkhandrick was people forget, and a lot of people didn't know who Spencer Ware was even coming into this year because Charkhandrick carried the load last year when Jamal went out. So the offense is perfectly comfortable with him in there. He had 4 yards of carry last year, 634 yards. He can play. There's nothing wrong with him. The thing that scares me this week is the depth behind him. I'm not sure if they're going to bring Nile back. I know you guys, we traded him to Green Bay and they just cut him. So they could maybe sign him back to the roster, which is great because you could do it later in the week.
Yeah, they probably will. That makes sense.
I mean,
if not, they're probably going to bring up a guy named Darren Reeves from the practice squad. And I've been saying this all along. The Chiefs were really five deep at running back coming into the year. Like, Reeves can play. So I'd be way more excited to see him come up and get a chance. But I think the smart move is probably they'll probably bring Nile back just to serve in that backup role.
I mean, according to like our good friend Jinx Savage, like Niall's better than Christine Michael, so I'm not sure why you wouldn't bring him back.
is Alex playing this week or no? Is it going to be Nick Foles?
Well, he apparently passed the concussion protocol and doesn't have a concussion. And Andy's been 100% adamant that if it is, if Alex is healthy, he's your quarterback. So I would say we're going to see Alex this week. I don't know why you would play him this. If it was me, I'd let him rest this week. This isn't a jab at the Jaguars, but I think you can win that game with Nick Foles and Charkhandrick West.
Well, I mean, Nick Foles played pretty well last week in spot duty, right? I mean, he started throwing it to Macklin and shit.
Dude, he was fucking awesome when he came in, man. Like, I haven't seen our I don't know how to put that. I haven't seen our playmakers look like playmakers until last week. Like, he threw a ball to Kelsey's touchdown that he kind of just threw up between two defenders and let his 6'5", freakishly athletic tight end go get it. And it's like something Alex would have never done. Like, we would have checked down the running back, kicked the field goal there. So, like, I liked it. And like I said, I just don't think you need Alex this week. And there's no fucking way you could convince me he didn't have a concussion last week. Like, he got up and almost fell over after the first one. And then the second one, I don't know if you've seen the pick. He looks like a fucking mummy laying there.
Yeah, it was like Cam in week one against Denver, kind of, huh? Yeah. Whereas it's like, dude, this guy is so obviously concussed. I mean, I hope that Foles plays. So then, I mean, I'm not going to watch this game, but getting beat by Nick Foles and Charkhandrick West would be a pretty – that would just – I mean, it's status quo at this point.
I'm sure we'll talk about the line
for this game too. It's on your podcast. It's Chiefs -9 right now. So,
oof, good God.
Yeah.
And that's with them knowing Ware probably isn't going to play and maybe not Alex either. But the thing that scares me here would be obviously that second corner that does make me nervous because
don't worry about it, dude.
You're good.
Yeah, I mean, those are the only things. I guess Linder's healthy and playing center, so Poe maybe not as big of a force, but Chris Jones has been starting ever since Bailey's been out, and he is a fucking man-child.
Yeah, well, I think, and we're going to wrap up here in a minute because I think we're going pretty long, too, but Poe is actually, I don't think, a good matchup for Linder because Linder is really good as, like, as a positioning guy and working to get leverage and everything, but he doesn't have a lot of strength. Like, you can
bully doesn't him. Work. Doesn't work against Poe. Like, if you're a guy who's just trying to get in position, because Poe's strong enough to move you off your position.
Exactly. Like, I think we even saw that. Did Meester play in the 2013 game 4 years ago?
Yeah. Oh, God. Poe destroyed y'all that game.
Oh, yeah. Poe destroyed Meester in that game.
Wasn't Meester the one who had his pants falling down? Or was it a Chiefs player?
I don't remember, actually. So, I don't know.
Solely a random.
I just remember Poe absolutely destroying him in the game. So, I don't expect the final. What the final score ended up being, like 24-2 or some crazy shit like that. I don't
last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys didn't even cross the 50. I don't think it's like the third quarter last time.
Yeah, no, they got like that like punt blocked or whatever for like a safety in like the first quarter, and everybody was like, maybe we're not terrible.
Yeah, that was week one. Yeah, it was week one last time, wasn't it? Week one or your first home game? Yeah, week one, and my mentions were on fucking fire after the punt block touchdown, and then I never got at it again the rest of the day. That was it.
I think is what we can. They won't even get the 2 points this time. It's probably going to be not crossing the 50 again. It's this team on the road to NKC, bro.
Yeah, that's what you got to worry about. It's in Arrowhead. They're a whole different animal there, man. Yeah. Kind of like the Saints are in the Dome. Like, the Chiefs are just a different animal at home, man.
Brian, how long are we at right now?
Too long. Like, too long, 52 minutes.
All right, we're not going to do questions this week. I think we actually...
you guys actually answered pretty much all of them.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I mean...
We went in... pretty good detail.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the questions were just like, why with a question mark too. So
Sully, again, thank you for coming on. Do you go ahead and plug your stuff?
Yeah, we're on iTunes, I Hate Sully, also available on bigboard.com. If you don't have iTunes, you can stream it right there, I believe. And we got our new format out, so we do the episode Me and You, and then I have a guest on, and then we do the DFS stuff, which comes out on Fridays, help you out with your lineups, and that's pretty much it. We're down to 2 episodes a week now.
Awesome. Everybody, thank you if you listened to us, we really, really appreciate it. I still can't believe that you guys do listen to us. Sully, thank you for coming on once again. You were a great guest again. Hopefully we can – who do the Jags even fucking play next week?
Texans?
Does anyone know? Ryan, do you know?
Yeah, it's the Chiefs and the Texans.
Oh, God. I don't want to.
That's going to be an empty home game, dude.
Yeah, dude, no. We can talk about that next week, probably, but I would not expect much fan turnout for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's probably a safe assumption.
Yeah, especially seeing after what happened on Twitter today. So
yeah, especially after they're starting to go at you guys a little bit. Maybe not the best move.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't blame the fans when you have been picking in the top five for like 10 fucking years straight.
I'll just say this before you wrap it up. Like, if there's one group of guys you don't want to go at either, it's definitely like the whole fan group thing you guys have going on. Like, the one loyal group of people. Like, yeah, terrible fucking move.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, I know we're going on kind of long, but I have been to one game in Jacksonville before, and it was that Chiefs game 4 years ago. Jesus. And I mean, like, yeah, that's the only Jaguars game I've been to in Jacksonville. And I will say this, if it was not for the fan support of like Bold City Brigade and Teal Street Hooligans, I don't know like how that franchise would even be like surviving.
Yeah. If you own an NFL team, get the fuck off Twitter, unless you just have an assistant tweeting out links to your fucking website.
Yep. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap us up for this week. Like I said, thank you guys for checking us out. Sully, thanks for coming on. I guess we'll talk about the Chiefs and the Texans next week. Who really gives a damn at this point?